Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
Okay.
You lied. You lied.
Hello.
Welcome
to Blog Talk Radio. It's Tuesday night. I don't know which Tuesday in October. But
first
it's chaos in Orangeburg, and they've got our state on alert. What, DEFCON 3 or 4 or whatever, and they're closing down the schools, but not to worry. Oh, Dr. A, take it over, because it's just a madhouse around here.
Be careful.
Thank you for being online tonight in the midst of whatever's happening in South Carolina. Is it because the hurricane storm is threatening your community down there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, this is Dr. Rhoda Ziana Lally. I'm a scholar in residence at the Center for Health Equity and Urban Science Education at Teachers College, Columbia University in New York City. I want to give a shout out to my colleagues at Columbia, at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, to the doctors there and the researchers who are using our nanotechnologies as they are employed to help with seizure management of a young lady from North Carolina, Miss Destiny. And I want to start by just stopping and saying a word of prayer over South Carolina and the East Coast, where this hurricane is threatening the very livelihood of the community down there. So just to say a little word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus, we just come before you, and we just speak to the storm, and we command peace to be still. We ask you to cover Ida and Nathan and their families and their communities with the blood of Jesus, and we decree and declare that no weapon formed, no storm can render hurt or harm to them or their property. In the name of Lord Jesus. And we ask you to send the mighty angels to spread their wings and stay that storm. And we ask for mercy to cover that area. We say grace, 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 that the grace will minimize the demise, the damages, and the lives. Spare the lives, Father God, that there will not be lives lost. In Jesus' name, we make our petition before you in your heavens, and we bind the forces of darkness that would try to exacerbate this storm. And we ask you to increase angels on assignment to that region to stabilize the winds and the waters, and may the resources be multiplied needed to stabilize life and living in that area, in Jesus' name. Well, I want to thank everybody for interrupting their busy schedule to be on the call tonight. It is an exciting night this October the 4th. It's hard to believe that in a few more months, this year will end. For those of you that have been on the line, we've been celebrating the year of Jubilee for the last 2 weeks, which came to a conclusion on October the 2nd, which was Sunday. So we have said our prayers. We've made our declarations that those things stolen from us would come back to us, and opportunities would open for us that were triple blessings. And so we've dedicated the month of October as a pink month. We want to talk specifically about breast health and what's going on in the world of breast cancer and breast disease. And I think it's befitting to talk about the environment and breast health, because in the last decade, we have been able to, scientists have quantified and qualified more data banks to point to environmental aspects and environmental factors that are involved in breast cancer. We do know now that chemicals in the air, as well as ionizing radiation, radiation that comes from hospitals when you have to go for mammograms and x-rays, have been identified as a source of injury to breast tissue, and that's why there's this continual campaign about mammograms, how often women need to have them, what they need to do to safeguard their breast tissue after they have it. But we're going to be talking about breast health in both women and men all month. And so I want to kind of home in on the Susan Coleman Foundation. They are the forerunners, and they are in the forefront of breast cancer research. And they really have supported a network of environmentalists to examine environmental factors in breast health. And they have rendered a document that I'm going to send out in the email blast for next week for everybody to look at. This thing is almost like a 400-page document. So you'll have it to look at and put in your own library, because I think that they make some interesting arguments and they give some interesting information for us to safeguard and shield ourselves. And it's so much information that I'm going to focus tonight on chemicals and breast disease, chemicals in your environment and breast health. And the reason why I want to talk about chemicals in the environment that may be in your house, around your house, and then I want to talk specifically about chemicals that's in your clothing, the clothing that you get dry cleaned, that's cleaned with a chemical that can be highly carcinogenic, meaning that it can cause cancer, and chemicals that are used to make the bras that you wear color fast so that the bra will hold the color. There are certain chemicals used in coloring fabric that can be highly assaultive to breast tissue. And that's why when you go out and you buy clothing, like underwear in particular, you need to wash and laundry those items before you wear them, because that chemical is so high and so concentrated, it can actually decrease the oxygen absorption and the nutrient distribution in the breast tissue and make the breast vulnerable to that toxic assault and toxic shock. And so in 2008, the American Nurses Association and seven medical entities lobbied against the EPA to get the data banks of chemical conversion released. I want you to grab your pen and pencils and paper, because I want to give you some websites to go to. Everybody needs to know what is their level of chemical exposure, because breast cancer is no longer a one-woman lane. It's a two-lane highway, one for men and the other one for women. The incident of breast cancer in men is on a fast track now. And everybody's asking the same question. How are men getting, why are they getting so much breast cancer? And I think when we begin to look at the chemical dynamics that's in our community, let me tell you something, it's a real eye-opener, and it really ought to stir a community to begin to rally and give people information to reduce their exposure. So back in 2008, the American Nurses Association and these seven medical entities lobbied the EPA to disclose the chemical databanks that showed where chemicals were converging, and you can actually access that databank. I tell people, they released the databank in USA Today, it's hard to get to that databank. If you go to usatoday.com, I don't know why it's so hard to pull up this particular databank of information. So write this down. The best place for you to go is www.safe, S-A-F-E, Safe Green Schools, with an S, .blogspot.com. Again, the number, the website is www.safegreenschools.blogspot.com. Now, when you get to the blog, you're going to go down to the second article. They have one from USA Today that talks about 129,000 schools were named in this article and in this database to have toxic air that could be potentially cancerous and could render them vulnerable to having breast cancer, cancer of the lymph system, cancer of the pancreas. All kinds of cancers have been associated with these high chemical areas. And if you click on the link, it's going to give you a prompt where you can put in your city, your state, and the name of the school that's closest to your house. When you click, all 50 states are named in this data bank, and schools in all 50 states are named in this data bank. When you click on the on your state and on your school, it opens up to a whole, and it archives what chemicals are converging in your neighborhood and what companies are responsible for chemical convergence in your neighborhood. This is an amazing thing, and I think this is part of responsible governance. It has been clearly documented, and it's a scientific fact, that certain chemicals can make you at risk for breast cancer, especially chemicals that make color sustain in fabric. But when you click on the chemicals that's in your neighborhood and around your schools, it will actually open up to a data bank of information that will tell you whether or not that chemical is a cancer-causing chemical. The Center for Disease Control talks about chemicals that have sulfates and nitrates in them. And I'm going to add another chemical to the classification that can put families and women and men at risk for breast cancer. And that's hydrogen chloride. Or hydrochloric acid, I'm sorry. Hydrochloric acid has been named as a carcinogen. And when you put hydrochloric acid and sulfate together, you are asking for a chemical cocktail that can put you at risk for breast cancer in both men and women and young children. And so, having said that, everybody needs to know, what is your level of chemical exposure? That's unnecessary. And you need to be able to take a step further. I want you to write this down. Vimeo.com, www.vimeo, Vimeo.com. When you go to Vimeo, I want you to look up the Bedort testing. We talk about it all the time on this show. B-D-O-R-T, Bedort testing. Everybody needs to learn how to do Bedort testing, because when you get your bras, men, when you get your shirts back from the dry cleaners, and women, when you get your dry cleaning shirts, you need to put your fingers, hold the, on the chest, left chest pocket, or on the left side of the shirt, or even to grab the bottom of the shirt. And you need to have, you need to hold the shirt in the left hand, and then you need to take your right hand and have someone Bedort test you. Now, what are you doing? You're testing to see if the chemicals used to dry clean your shirt, if you have a hypersensitive reaction to that. And if you do, you can use your nanotechnology to set the shirt on the nano and balance that chemical until you're able to touch the shirt and hold your fingers together and have a positive Bedort that you can hold strong with your Bedort test. Because the chemicals in dry cleaning, and there are several, you can look them up, have been associated as being carcinogenic. And that's why there's this emergence of all of these organic dry cleaners now. People using organic compounds to clean with, because so many people are getting sick. By the same token, when women buy bras, you need to test two things in the bra. You need to test the chemical load on that bra, the chemical conversion on that bra, just by grasping that bra in your left hand and having somebody to Bedort test you in the right hand to see if you have a hypersensitivity to that chemical. And if there is a hypersensitivity in that chemical, then the recommendation is to get a detergent like Dreff. Wash your underclothes, wash that bra before you put it on the body. Dreff is an enzyme. It balances chemicals. It is amazing at how it balances chemicals. That's why it's recommended. It's hypoallergenic, and it's recommended to wash baby clothes in that detergent so that you do not give your children chemical hypersensitivity at a young age and predisposition them to diabetes. The world is looking at chemicals in a different way now, especially in Europe, because in Germany they are now proclaiming that diabetes is actually chemical poisoning, chemical hypersensitivity, that we are being exposed to so many hundreds and hundreds of industrial chemicals in what we're eating, what we're wearing, the carpet we're laying on, the chemicals converging from paint, the VOCs that are coming out of our carpet and coming out of, you know, the interiors of our homes, to the point where, you know, we have overloaded the kidney and the pancreas and breast tissue. So now we have to be intentional and proactive in what is touching the breast. Because I cannot believe how so many men are getting breast cancer now. So we have to look at what chemicals are in our clothing and are they making us have energy loss to the breast tissue. So after we're testing the fabrications in our hands and with our fingers and Bedort testing for energy loss, and yes, you can do muscle response testing for people who, you know, are more confident with the skills. You can do muscle response testing. That's when you test the muscle for energy loss. So you would hold the bra or the dry cleaning shirt in your left hand, and you want to test off the right hand and to see if you have energy loss. And so, just in reviewing, know the chemical that's in the clothing that you're putting close to your body. Test the fabrics by holding them in your hand. If you're having energy loss, then dissipate that chemical by pre-washing your underclothes before you put them on your body. I want to just make an extra note or an additional note about bras. because in the world today, bras have gotten so fancy. I mean, to tell you, they got so many systems to support breast tissue in a bra. You have bras that lift you up, and bras that lift you out, and bras that round you out. And Victoria's Secret has a whole line of bras that are so sensational. Pretty soon, you're going to have a bra that dances. But you got to test the underwire. You got to test the fabrication that renders infrastructure to that bra. There's some reports that say that metal in the bra, the underwires, will conduct electromagnetic fields. And in doing so, they can cause swelling to lymph structures of the breast tissue. That is a scientific, that's scientifically established. That is a true fact. We know that metal conducts electromagnetic fields. And we have tested bras that have metal underwiring, and yes, they are conducting metal, they're conducting EMF radiation. And so if you have a bra on that's conducting electromagnetic radiation and broadcasting that static into the breast tissue, you are at risk for creating sustained inflammation in the blood vessels and the lymph structures of the breast, and that can be very harmful for the breast doing what God gave it to do. The breast is full of fat. You know, it's not just to enhance the curves of a woman's body, but it contains structures that produce milk for babies. And anytime you have fat, that's insulation for the body. It's also a storage system for energy, and it's a storage system for excessive waste. When you swell the venioli of the lymphatic system that is responsible for transporting waste out of the breast, it can't do its job. It's like a clogged sink that's dripping, dripping, dripping. So you get the gases built up from the toxins in the body and in the breast tissue, and pretty soon you've got swollen lymph nodes and sore lymph nodes and tumors in the breast and cysts in the breast and fibrous breast that has so many cysts that the circulation, the tissue becomes very hard and the circulation really poor, and you have a diagnosis of breast cancer or inflammatory breast disease. This thing is real. Of these factors in breast cancer, and I really have to take the time to applaud the Susan G. Komen Foundation, who has taken the lead in documenting and in supporting investigators to look at these environmental factors and what can we do. I applaud the University of Cincinnati and the medical doctors there who have been so courageous to take two steps forward. They actually have a clinic called the Breast Environmental Health Clinic. And this clinic is looking at factors in young women and following young women for a 10 to 20-year period through from puberty into adulthood, how for risk and to identify their risk for breast disease and early interventions to prevent them from having breast cancer. I think it's a phenomenal gesture that they're doing to safeguard the health and the welfare and the lives of these young women. And so We have a month to celebrate. We now that we know to do better, we can do better. Everyone needs to learn how to test the breast tissue for energy loss and imbalance. And you can use muscle response testing and Bedore testing to identify those factors. especially as it relates to chemical exposures on your breast tissue. So before you put a bra on, before you put a dry clean shirt on, before you put new clothing on your body next to your breast tissue, I don't care if you're a man or you're a woman, do a energy test, do a muscle response test, do a Bedort test, and see if you're losing energy when you're testing and touching these fabrics. The second thing you need to do after you lay these fabrics on the breast tissue, touch them in your hand first, lay them on the breast tissue, and you lay them on the breast tissue for 25 seconds. So you put on your new bra for 25 seconds, take the bra off, and then take two fingers, your pointing finger and your middle finger, make them straight like pencils. Use the tips of those fingers and a Bedort test, go to each, divide the breast into four quadrants with imaginary lines, and take those two fingers and put them in each quadrant of the breast and have someone muscle response test you and Bedort test you. See if you have energy loss to the breast tissue after you have had these bras on or these shirts on for 25 seconds. Chemicals can be so assaultive, you don't need to have them on for hours and hours in order to have energy loss in the tissue. A 25-second test will let you know if your body has a hypersensitivity to the chemicals that they are manufactured with and can let you know whether or not you're at risk for assaulting the breast with a chemical or decrease in energy in that breast. And so I hope to have my little video finished before the end of the year. It kind of gives an advanced way to assess chemicals and the breast health, because we got to do better. There's too many young women under the age of 25 losing their breasts. Young women who are at risk for breast cancer because they have found a gene or genetic coding or a DNA link to breast cancer, are opting to have their breasts totally removed. Look at Angelina Jolie. She didn't even have breast cancer, but she knew she was at risk for it. So she opted to have her breasts totally removed before she even got breast cancer. And this is the reality. This is the world in which we live. So I'm going to stop talking now and just open up the lines for anyone that wants to dialogue with me about breast health and breast chemicals. Anybody that may have a question that's on the show tonight, I want to give a particular shout out to our archangel of the airwaves, Mr. Nathan on the spot. Hill, Mr. Jonathan Hill, we thank you so much for your sponsorship. And certainly for Ida Morse, you know, for you guys to be on this show tonight in the threat of a hurricane, this really shows a level of dedication. And I don't want to be remiss in not acknowledging the sacrifice you make to give us strength and bring our voice to the nation and to Canada and to the world every single Tuesday. And I really appreciate all that you do, the strength that you give us to stand with. And I just want to open up, is there anybody that has a statement or a question about breast health and chemicals tonight? Oh, don't everybody ask at once. Well, that makes me feel good that I've given you some information. Hopefully it's been great information for you to be able to work for your sons and your daughters and your neighbors and your friends. Was somebody going to say something?
Awesome information, Dr. Lally. Awesome information. And I do have those problems with chemicals. I avoid buying anything that's dry cleaned, has to be dry cleaned. If I do have to buy something, I've sought out those organic or chemical-free, dry cleaners, because I'm highly sensitive to the chemicals in the dry clean clothes. I remember wearing a shirt that I had dry cleaned once, and I almost passed out.
Yes.
I literally almost passed out, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and then it dawned on me that it was the odor or the chemicals from the shirt. So I had to go out and buy another shirt to put on because I couldn't get home to change my clothes.
Wow. That is so important, and thank you, Ida, for sharing that with us, because people think, you know, we're under a nationwide call to action to evaluate these air and chemical radiation of sources that's in our home, because people are getting sick unto death. Our children are losing their vitality from chemical and radiation assault in the home. And young girls, as they grow, and we buy these bras for them, and we're giving them cell phones and bras with underwire and wondering why at 15 they need a lumpectomy out of the breast. There's a town in the Midwest, and in this town, four streets in a row, everybody in that town from 17 and up has breast cancer because of chemicals. And so this is becoming an epidemic in our community because of the chemicals that we are using. And that's why I applaud the officials in the state of California for making these apartment complexes, these hotels, and other municipal residencies to post these signs telling people that chemicals can cause cancer and injury to the unborn. And now that we know better, now that we know these chemicals are making breast disease, we've got to be intentional about our living, intentional about how we are raising and nurturing the maturation of our children, both boys and girls. There we have a pastor that has right breast cancer, and he is right-hand dominant with cell phone use. That radiation is a topic we're going to talk about next week or the week after, radiation and breast cancer. The Susan G. Komen Foundation has done an exhaustive study. They've come in agreement and collaboration with universities and nonprofit organizations that do research in this area, and they've done a superior job. So I want to encourage you to get out and walk with those that are walking for breast health. Walk the block, walk the mile. Get out and raise awareness. Don't just stand in line with a pink shirt. Open your mouth and share this information. Knowledge is power. Information is vitality for all of us to live. Care enough to share this information. And while I have everyone on the line, for those of you that's in South Carolina, Hawaii, California, Pennsylvania, Nevada, we have an amazing opportunity. iHealthy Smart Homes will now offer free solar panels and solar window insulators, the Solis, to people in these states that qualify for solar panels. Now, what is the qualification? The qualification is you have to have a 650 credit score. You have to have a roof that can tolerate a solar panel. You have to have you can't have a lot of trees on top of your roof unless you want to remove them. And you have to be strategically located in an area to get 3 hours of sun. Now, people say, well, you know, Dr. Lally, that sounds like a good deal, free solar panels, but nothing is really free. Well, the equipment is free. It's kind of like buy a cell phone and then you got to pay for the service. This is what is happening. If you heard and saw the video of the president, his press conference, if you saw Hillary Clinton last night, you heard in her speech,
she talked about increasing solar panels and work, getting everybody off the grid and getting them on these solar panels. Now, why is that happening? It's because areas, the homes have been overbuilt. There's too many houses for the grid. And they need to get people to solar for energy conservation and to be able to accommodate the expansive growth, especially on the East Coast. Every time there's an ice storm, you know, everybody's power is knocked out because the grid is overloaded with people trying to accommodate the cold weather and need for more heat. So that's why solar is being pushed. And right now, the federal government is subsidizing solar. So we've been able to get our toe in the door by participating in this campaign, being an organization that has been, that will be able to give away these solar panels. And for anyone that's getting a solar panel through our organization, we're also going to give them free solar window insulators. I had the opportunity to speak on Saturday for some politicians, and it was at a private party. And they had been hearing about my technology, hearing about my work. They were excited to see the demonstration, and they were totally blown away. But what I love about Soli, our window insulators, they are so profound that in this house we installed Soli in the north window, and then we went and got some Mozart and turned Mozart on, and everybody got a glass of water. They energized their water, and they drank this water, and they were sitting in the living room within in the frequency of the Soli and this Mozart music. And they, I mean, it just relaxed everybody. They thought they were drinking wine instead of water. They couldn't believe how the airwave coming off of Soli, how it began to dissipate the thickness of the air in the house. It was thick, it was humid, and it made it light and easier to breathe. Everybody said all of a sudden it was like something happened in their lungs and they could breathe easier in this house that had all this congestion. And they got so excited about this opportunity to have these solar window insulators, the campaign in their community, because they're so affordable. As it relates to the solar panels, I did not know that you could actually buy solar panels outright, but the expense is really not worth the investment, because to buy solar panels, you're talking about an investment somewhere in the window between $50,000 to $100,000, and you have to maintain them. The opportunity that we now have for families whose homes we put together in the states that I aforementioned, California, Hawaii, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Maryland, and Oregon, New York, and South Carolina, Ida and Nathan. South Carolina, the opportunity, you will make money for the referral. They're already contractors that are licensed, bonded, and insured. The payment is over $500 per referral that qualifies and meets the qualification. So this is a business opportunity. And I've inquired to see if they had it in Canada, in Montreal. They said they are working on it. But you can basically get these solar panels. You pay a monthly fee for using the electricity, and this is how it works. Whenever you get solar panels, they do not totally take you off the grid. They leave you connected to the grid for a backup. Panels are energized by the sun. You pull your energy off of the sun, off of those panels. But say like you had a day, it was a rainy day, there wasn't a lot of sun out. or there was a snowstorm and it was cloudy for a week, and you use up all your solar panels, then you would kick in and you would take your energy from the grid. So I actually saw, I went to an attorney's house that was representing this company that we're working with, and she had been had these panels on her house for a couple of years. So she actually showed me her electric bill, and she showed me her solar panel bill. She was paying $400 a month for electricity in a 7,000-square-foot house. $400. When she got her solar panels put on, there's two ways to pay for it, either by an adjustable rate or a fixed flat rate. So she chose the flat rate. So she went from $400 a month down to about $125 a month to pay for her electricity. And because her solar, where her home is located, she gets a lot of direct sun. She has like 20 panels on her house. And she gets so much energy in her panels that she was able to get a surplus of energy. And her electric company actually gave her credit for having a surplus that they used. And she had $124 credit. She said that the only seasons that's where she ends up having to pay, she said the most she's ever had to pay to the electric system for the backup has been $25. She said she's been in this house going on 3 years. The most she's ever had to pay has been $25. So she pays an average of $125 for her electric bill in a 7,000-square-foot house.
Cheap.
I saw the house. I was in the house. I saw the electric bill, and I saw the solar bill. So I'm not telling you something that she told me. I'm telling you she laid the documents out in front of me and showed me what the opportunity was. Somebody had a question? Or a comment?
Yeah, I said that's cheap.
Oh, yes. It is really, really inexpensive. So solar panels, is that something that they use in Canada?
Yeah, we use them. But you, unfortunately, in Quebec, you cannot contribute to the grid with your extra power and get a credit.
Wow.
So, you know, it's, how should I say it? You go back to the old-fashioned way sometimes, where, like, what I'm doing now is it's probably about 8 degrees outside, or in Fahrenheit it's probably 5, and you light a fire. Dr. A, to go back to your subject on breast tissue, and the exposure to the chemicals with the clothing, but would you not think that exposure to computer screens, static electricity, is another major contributor?
Absolutely, and I want to devote a whole show to that next week. I know that we have just a short period of time, and so it is a huge contributor. That's why I want to spend a whole show on it, because thank you for bringing it up, because I'm sure people have that, you know, in the forefront of their mind. And we have not done enough. Matter of fact, I've been looking at this 400-page document that Susan G. Komen rendered. And I was really surprised to find that they had a lot of documentation on ionizing radiation from X-rays. And there was not a lot of content on non-ionizing radiation, which there should have been. So we want to give a whole show talking about ionized radiation exposure from X-ray sources, et cetera, and non-ionizing radiation exposure from Wi-Fi and electronics, because it's a very, very important subject matter, Rod. And thank you, you know, for your comment, because it's very important. But, you know, tonight I wanted to just kind of showcase the chemical piece, because there was a direct initiative, a direct call to action, and a deliberate policy and initiatives put in place to look at chemicals in our environment and the relationship to breast health and cancer. And it has been well documented in literature that these chemicals are contributing to breast cancer, not just in men, but men also. And we have, the good news is we have the opportunity to do something about it. We have the opportunity to be intentional in our living and to take the extra steps to be knowledgeable. Towels and washcloths that you go buy in the store, a lot of times people just start using them. No, you need to launder them first and get that chemical that they've used to make that color fast, you know, make the towels and washcloths hold the color in. They use a processing chemical. A lot of them are full of formaldehyde. And get that chemical off of that off of the towel and washcloth before you use it, so you don't contaminate and give a toxic shock to the skin. So, I'm kind of jumping between breast health and solar panels, but I did want to tell about this opportunity, because many of you are very eco-conscious, and you've done a number of events to go green. And the solar panels are coming, and they're coming to a community near you. And the federal government is giving them away because they know they have to de-stress these grids in order for us to be able to support our livelihood with all of the electrical infrastructure that we have in our homes and schools and workplaces, and those that sustained, you know, the municipalities of our government. So I'm excited that on the East Coast, as I said last week, I was out for the official opening of the African American Museum at the Smithsonian Institute. And among all of the festivities that went that weekend, I was reunited with some of my friends, and I got to be the official babysitter for folk that was hanging out with some late-night activities. I said I'd play with the children in the swimming pool. And I said all that to say that I was surprised to learn that the White House has solar panels. And this museum is the first museum on the National Mall to have solar panels and solar energy. So this is when the White House has solar panels and solar energy, and the museums are governed by solar energy. That, to me, is a wake-up call for the rest of us to begin to see how we can move to become more energy efficient. And certainly that is the goal of Healthy Smart Home, to not only have sustainable energy, but also sustainable human energy. Because why save the house and let the people in the house die? Because you've got something that does not clear the electrostatic microsurge, and therefore the assault of chemicals and radiation in the house is higher. And so we have the hope today. We're all on this line because we share this common thread. We're passionate about leaving a healthier legacy for our children and for our families and the friends that we love. we're on this line tonight on this show to be able to grasp knowledge to sustain the hope of our journey forward to make a better world for where we live and where we play. And that's why I celebrate all of you for your love for me, your continued support every week. You give me strength to keep climbing, and I'm excited about what the future holds because we're getting ready to make some things happen for all of you. Now, I will say to my Canadian friends and for people that are not in states that I have named, and I'll send it all out in the broadcast. I think I sent it if you go to click on the event, I think I posted it up in the event, some of the states. If you know someone that's in these states and we can get a bona fide opportunity to install Solis, you will still make that referral fee. And then that referral fee, depending upon how many panels they have, is somewhere in that window, $500, give or take $200. It could be $700. It may be $300 if they have like a small townhouse. It's somewhere in that window of $500, give or take $200 one way or the other. And if they have a substantial amount of panels, like you have a barn or a big commercial building, it could be substantially more. So get out your Rolodex. We're going to have an articulation, a memorandum of understanding put together for people for what the process is. And you will be able to, if you know somebody in one of these states that's interested in solar panel and the deal can be closed, that will be your referral fee. Because all you have to do is refer. The work is done by licensed, bonded, insured contractors. They don't have to put out any money to get these panels. They just have to be able to have a credit score of 650 and a substantial and a history of paying their bills, and all of the other particulars that I mentioned. So, any other comments? I got to hear about some of my miracles. I will tell you that Dr. Smithy Incus shared her miracle today. For those of you that met Dr. B in Canada, she is a phenomenal woman of grace and mercy. But what she shared with me this evening, I invited her on the show, but she passed out asleep from running all day today. But she called me up and busted over to see me. She said, "You've got to hear this." And I said, "Hear what?" She said, "Remember I was telling you about my eye, the pressure was too high in my eye. I had ocular hypertension in my eye." And I said, "Yeah," I said, "I remember that." And I said, we put one of the EGB technologies on your stem of your glasses." She said, "Yeah." She said, "I went for surgery today, and my pressure in my eye was 24. That is way too high." And they reevaluated the pressure before surgery, and it was down to 16.
Wow.
She said, "I really didn't need the extent of the surgery that they were going to do, but they did a procedure just to relieve the pressure even more." And she said, "My vision, I have so much clarity in my vision. I had to take my glasses off because my sight is better without my glasses now." She had a hematoma. Her eye was bloodshot. And we had taken a Q1, put it in a flashlight, and she gave herself some energy to that eye with that light and that Q1. Literally, within about 5 minutes of doing 3 minutes to the solar plexus of the tummy and then rotating the energy on her eyes for 2 minutes, 60% of that blood clot and that hematoma that was in her eye resolved. But today when she came out of surgery and said the eye had decreased six down to 16 from 24 in 1 week's time, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a miracle, and the doctors were dumbfounded. Because the nanotechnologies are not engineered to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. But what we have found... Yes, go ahead.
Dr. A, there's one problem here. All these doctors don't know you.
Well, you know, Rod, that's not a problem. That's the opportunity. Because I'm doing my due diligence. I'm doing my time. And now that we have the electrophysicist dynamics of the aerospace industry, and we can quantify static, and we can measure these things now, it's now time to go forth. We have a lot. We are officially positioned with a university in the Department of Engineering again, and that's why I said there's some things coming forthright. We're just putting things in due diligence. And so in the fullness of time, it shall all come forth. Because it can no longer be denied. It's quantifiable. It's measurable. People are getting the same results. It's a matter of getting on the proper platform to be commercialized. And we already know who the haters are. So we have to keep some information incognito of people trying to sabotage us going forward. But this is God's technology. And he's getting all the glory and the praise, and things are moving forward. I'm not able to articulate all the things that are moving forward, but I'm excited about being repositioned back in a school, a Department of Engineering, and in an incubator that helps with commercializing technology and moving us forward. But to have a medical doctor with that kind of testimony, and then a world-renowned journalist, Dr. Reynolds, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, gave me a report last week that her eye is totally healed. Her sight has been restored to 20/30. The hole that's in the macula is totally resolved. All of the swelling that was in her right eye is resolved, and the sight has been restored. And she's rejoicing. And incidentally, speaking of her rejoicing, her book is out on Amazon, The Biography of Coretta Scott King. The book is amazing. You can pre-order it now. It's $30. She was commissioned by Coretta Scott King before she died to write her book. She had traveled with Coretta King for almost 10 years as a journalist. She had been invited to be a guest in her home, and she archived many of her civil rights movements and campaigns, and including the national holiday, Martin Luther King holiday. She was part of that civil rights movement and part of the students that walked, you know, in support of Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, Dr. Barbara Reynolds is a living legacy. She's just an amazing woman. And she called me first thing to say her book was out on Amazon and has been pre-released at the publisher, the Macmillan Publishing Company, which is a derivative of the New York Times. So we're believing that this book will have global success and be on the New York Times. It is a phenomenal book. You know, you think about Martin Luther King and his work and his legacy. You know, you tremble when you read about the horrific details of his suffering, how he was eaten and bitten by dogs, and how he was taunted and tormented and jailed, and how he was lied on, and they schemed and scammed his name, and then they assassinated him. Honor of human life. But you never you never saw Coretta Scott King where she was in that whole journey. You knew he was being, his life was being threatened, and he was being put in jail and in prison, but you never knew that her life was being threatened. They were threatening to kill her and the children. How many times she had to be hidden? How many times she had to hide under the bed or in the closet or in the backwood or had to be snuck out the back door and in a car safely whisked away before her house blew up from a bomb? I mean, this book stories, and you see a different Coretta Scott King, because you never knew I never knew the woman was so courageous to stand with Martin Luther King in the face of great adversity and death. She was willing to be beaten with him. She was willing to be shot to death and assassinated, with walking across the bridge in Selma with her arms locked in his on the front line, knowing that she could have taken a bullet to the head or to the heart. Sitting up in church and trying to worship and watching her mother-in-law be gunned down on the organ during Sunday morning service, ducking down in the seat because the next bullet could have came for her. Think about people's journeys. I think about my own journey. How many times I wanted to just throw the towel in and say, okay, my breast is healed and my son is out of the hospital, and I can walk now and let the rest of the world find their way. And let me just put this nanotechnology on the shelf, because how many times has it been up and down and in and out? How many times have we had to start and stop? And I had reached one of my lowest moments in this past year. Came within a hair of giving up this whole quest. And I had gone to the library to get a book and to use the computer, and there were no computers available, and the librarian said, well, we'll try the children's section. And I went in the children's section, and there was this book. It's almost like the book jumped out at me from the shelf. And the title of the book was 50 Cent and a Dream, the story of Booker T. Washington. T. Washington was an African-American man born a slave in America, born at the turn of the century when slaves were emancipated. He worked with his family, and they got their freedom, and they left Virginia and moved to West Virginia, where they worked in the coal mines, mining. And as a slave, he would carry the school books for his master's children to school, and slaves weren't allowed to be educated, so he would stand in the window and watch the phonetic grills, apple. And he began to be intrigued with these sounds, but he couldn't organize them to learn. And when his family got their freedom and they were set free and they moved to Virginia, it was a traveling preacher who was a teacher. And he began to hold school and teach and taught him how to read. And then he started hearing about the universities and becoming a teacher. This teacher had such a profound effect on him that he aspired to be like him. And the teacher said, well, you need to go to the university. You need to go to college and further your skills and your learning so you can teach others. Now, this is what got me. I have written a lot of sacrifice. I've been through a lot. My lab's broken into, lap stolen, my house broken into, over $8,000 worth of damage. things that happened to my children, things that happened to me, been lied on, folks that sensationalized stories. And I was almost discouraged. I was very discouraged until I read about Booker T. Washington, and the Spirit of God ignited such a passion deep in his soul that he had earned maybe around $100. And he was so thirsty. He knew that he was supposed to be a teacher of different sorts, that he was going to be a world changer. And so he prayed and asked God to strengthen him. And he walked on foot 500 miles for days and weeks and months. He walked 500 miles from West Virginia to Virginia. He was on his way to Hampton, Virginia, which is almost halfway between Richmond and Virginia Beach. And by the time he got to Richmond, he was full of blisters and sores and dehydrated. And he collapsed when he got to Richmond. And some people took care of him. He rested there for about a week, got a little hustle job unloading ships. They fed him. He stood outside restaurants and places and begged for food. And people gave him food and gave him a little opportunity to work. And he saved some more money, and he continued his journey to walk to Hampton Institute. Now, this is what blew me away. On his way, on his journey, he didn't even have no money to pay for the tuition. He had not even made an application to enroll in the school. He didn't even know whether he was going to be accepted or rejected. But when he got to the school, and they heard his testimony about how by faith he started out walking because he wanted to better his life. He wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to make a difference in the world. He wanted to change the world. Now, when he got to Hampton Institute, he said, I have no money to enroll. I don't even have an application. But if you'll let me be the janitor, I promise I will be an excellent student. The tuition was only $70 for the whole year. And they gave him a job as a janitor and let him work his way. He had to stay in the closets and sleep out in shacks. He really had a struggle to stabilize himself to be able to get through college. And when he got through, he said, I'm not going to just take my education into a classroom and inspire children. He said, I'm going to go back to the west side. I'm going to go to Alabama in a place of great need where there's great illiteracy and there's great hardship, where the people are struggling. And I'm going to take the vision of Hampton Institute to Tuskegee, Alabama, and he was the founder of Tuskegee Institute that birthed the Tuskegee Airmen that gave rise to what we now have as Tuskegee University, one of the preeminent schools of agriculture in the United States, especially in the South. And I began to reflect upon this man, and I said, What if he had not put that $100 in his pocket and started walking? What if he had got to Richmond and given up his dream, given up the anointing, given up the purpose for which he knew he was called? Even though the struggles were great and the resources were few, the love and the passion he had to be a world changer ignited a fire in him that was so great, he was able to complete the journey and leave a legacy that has strengthened thousands and thousands and thousands of young men and women with the hope and the dream of becoming not just an educator, not just a person who's educated, but a person who gets education to change the world and make it a better place. And so what I did is reach down and pulled my boots up and tightened up my straps. I put my shoulders back and I went to the restroom and wiped my face off, because you could not read that book without crying through every single page, even though it was a child's book and a quick 15-minute reading. But it inspired me to continue on this journey. So I know it's been a long, tedious journey, because doors for funding have been continually closed in my face. I know it's been a disheartening journey, because you can't imagine how ruthless and evil people are, because they would rather see people die from cancer and seizure disorder. They would rather see children suffocate with an asthma attack. They would rather see sons orphaned and left vulnerable in the streets, so complete generations of families and races and creeds could be destroyed. They would rather see that. But if nobody helps me, I have to continue forward. That's why I'm careful to celebrate all of you in this line. Because you don't need an army of people to win. You need a few people who share the passion, who share the courage, who share the intention, who share the vision to move forward. And we're moving forward. And the day will come, and soon shall be, that the word of this nanotechnology and the vision of this nanotechnology and the testimonies of this nanotechnology shall ring so loud in the world that remote jungles of Africa shall hear about it, that high people that live in Alaska, in Eskimos, and igloos shall hear about it, and it shall be available to the world at the will of a click of a button and a mouse. I have a dream that people do not have to suffer sickness from electromagnetic static. And I trust in God 100% to perform it. He is faithful, and he has brought us this far. He has brought me through a stroke, through breast cancer, through the injury of my son's brain. He has brought me through being hit by a six-ton truck and drug to my death, and he sent the angel of the Lord up underneath that truck and stayed the weight of that truck and brought a car to block the intersection so I could not have my head crushed. And no weapon formed against me in this process shall prosper, because it is powered by the might of God's love in me. I make no apology for being born. I was created by God for such a moment as this. He's the one that gave me the talent. He's the one that gave me the ability. He's the one that gave me the technology. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, by the love of God, it's going to be delivered. I don't know how, when, where, or why, but I know that every delay is not a no. Every deterrent in the road is not a no. And I'm going to keep on going just like Booker T. Washington. I'm going to keep on being just like George Washington Carver. Dr. Bianca has done, she started calling me Mrs. George Washington Carver. He was an African American that was an anointed to study agriculture and plants, and he was so fascinated with the peanut. He has thousands and thousands and thousands of uses with a peanut. He's the one that invented peanut butter. And so, don't be discouraged, because God is in control. And at the appointed time, we shall come forth in his time. And in the fullness of time, everything will be in order to sustain the momentum. It's coming. It cannot be aborted. This mission cannot be aborted because the angels of God are on assignment to it. There's no way. When I sit back and look at how this technology was invented in my little town, in my little lab, what is the possibility that 10 years later it has far reached to Canada? It's in Iceland. It's in Paris. It's in Lyon, France. It's in Nigeria. It's in Lagos and Abuja. It's in Ghana. It's in the Ivory Coast. It is in Costa Rica. It's in Panama. When I think about where this technology is, coast to coast from Los Angeles to New York City, it's even in the Trump Towers in Chicago. This technology is in homes and cell phones around the world and continents I've never even imagined from a little country farming town in Ohio. Okay, and the delay has been because it is so far ahead of its time, we had to wait until we found a quantifying instrument. But we found it now. So I want to thank everybody. I'm not discouraged. I'm going to see the technology all the way to the end of the road. And now that we've hit solar applications, yeah, the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit. When we did this solar demonstration for these politicians on Saturday, and we put those solis in the window and turned Mozart on, and the relaxation that came from that music hitting the frequency of that soli in the window was phenomenal because the music made the energy coming off the window dance. And it was like relaxation massage to the mind, the body, the spirit. So my prayer continuously is, God, be magnified, be glorified, and strengthen us for the journey forward. That's what I'm going to close on tonight, that you may be strengthened for the journey forward. What is the journey? That our environments are healthier, that we have reduced exposure to chemicals in our environment, that we are intentional when we buy clothes, we're testing them for energy loss in our bodies and in the bodies of our family members. That we're not just living as a tumbleweed, blowing over here and over there. That we're making some deliberate efforts in walking forward. And with the reduction of assault of chemicals on our breast tissue and on our being, may we be increased in wisdom that the plant-based diet, eating a salad for breakfast, is better than grains. Because salads are full of greens that can enhance a detox regimen. Learning how to take breathing classes. It's amazing that you can burn more calories with yoga than you can a cardiovascular workout. The breath of life can enhance metabolism and is the most inexpensive way to detox your body, just learning how to breathe properly. Isn't that something? So invest in a yoga class. Eat a salad for breakfast. Work on getting a plant-based diet and getting yourself off of meat. And let's live and love and leave our legacy for the next generation to have hope. This is Dr. Lolly. I thank everyone for being on the line tonight. I know we went way overboard, but I had so much in my heart to share. And, Rod, you always inspire great things in me and deep thought because I know how passionate this subject is for you, and I appreciate all that you do to give us strength to stand and move forward. Any other comments from anyone else?
No, thank you, Dr. Ray.
Hey, Mario, how are you?
I've been on the line all that time listening to you.
Oh, wonderful.
I've been doing really, really sensational business since the Equisphere show.
Wow.
And by the way, I can just say to you that all this aluminum around the smart meter doesn't work at all.
Wow.
And I was in the room just to finish on it because people want to close off for today. There was a room where there was electrical panels, five units of a smartphone, and I applied temporarily the smart meter solution. And actually, if three people were pointing at any of these smart meter, they were 100% fully balanced on that electrical room.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I have to tell all these people that are putting aluminum and foil and even grounded aluminum foil on their smart meter, I have to tell them to begin with that actually I don't believe in it and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Not at all. It doesn't work at all. It actually don't do any balance. It doesn't even have the least effect of balance on you.
Exactly, because it's not. First of all, it's a poor quality aluminum, and they have to understand aluminum conducts what's already there.
Yeah.
So it's not going to balance high frequency the way they want to, the way that they're saying that it does not. So you're correct.
Yeah. Could you explain to me today? I had the chance to measure a tetragram meter with a Q1 on it. And as the mega power saver would do a job to harmonize a whole room or whole home, but putting the Q1 on the stethogram, it doesn't do anything.
So what are you asking about the Q1?
I just use the Q1. Let's say we use Q1s on the power guard or the mega power saver, the filter. And it does the job in harmonizing, and you can actually check anybody in the room with unprotected cell phone, and it actually harmonized them or balanced them 100%. But when you put the Q1 on the stethogram filter that is into the wall, it doesn't do anything as far this exercise goes.
Are you talking about the stethogram filter or the stethogram meter?
I'm talking about the stethogram filter on the market.
I'll have to test that, Mario, because the Q1 was made for the power guard. It wasn't made for
It's not because of the same type of filter, I guess, eh?
No, the infrastructure is different. That Q1 was made specifically to interface with the power guard. And the reason why we chose the power guard because we had more consistency with the power guard than we did with any other filter.
Okay.
Remember when we went up on the farm and we tested all those filters and none of them do what the power guard did. And these bioharmonics are very expensive to manufacture and plate. And we couldn't plate like five different ones for all those different filters. We had to reduce it down to three filters, and the stethogram was not one that was selected. So,
it's
definitely designed for the power guard. That's why they work so amazingly together.
One last question I have for you. Did anybody ever did a live blood analysis on the before and after using the nanotechnology?
I want to say
what I mean, eh?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, there was somebody up in San Francisco that was playing around with one of those spectrum that does live blood analysis. And it showed that the cells were more energized after they were in the, after the nano was put on the shoe. And I want to say they tested it for about a minute. And then tested
it. Why I say this is because I have a giant here. that is now will be testing a guy that actually was teaching lifeblood cells analysis to all these naturopaths in Quebec. And this man is 91 years old, still got the whole
wow.
equipment, and he's a genius in this matter. And he's got a flat battery in his possession at this time, and he's actually checking this out. And I will be really, really enthusiastic to know what his results are about it. And I will let you know.
Me too, because there was a person that did it, and I want to say it was either up in Spokane, Washington, or San Francisco. I want to say maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And they were supposed to send me the results, but the results, they never got to me. So I will be
okay.
excited to see what, you know, his findings are.
Yeah. And, yeah, I will let you know because it's very, it will be very important for, because most, at least half of naturopaths in Quebec are qualified to do a blood cell analysis. Live blood cell analysis here, and if it's really what we think it is, well, we don't always have to need the proof of MyoVision to show people that our technology actually works best. You know.
Absolutely, Mario. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I will keep you informed. I'll keep all the people on the line to inform about this too at the same time.
Okay. All righty then.
Take care.
So,
good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right, good night, Rod.
Good night, everyone. Have a great week.
Good night.
Bye-bye, yeah.
Good night.
I'm telling everyone. Have you been good to me? I lift up my